It's the Hawk and Tom Show on B93.7.
Well, I guess I'll tell you what, if you are a new driver and you've gotten a ticket or maybe in a wreck, it's not your fault. It's your parents' fault, okay?
Oh, really?
You can blame your parents because driving habits actually run in the family, believe it or not.
Oh, man.
New study found that if you are a terrible driver, it's probably because you've learned from watching your parents drive.
Wow.
Yeah, 65% of young drivers said their parents had the biggest influence on how they drive.
That's not good.
I know.
I mean, I'm a very good driver, but yeah. I'm a very aggressive driver.
Yes, you are.
And so I hope they don't drive the way I do.
I have learned here lately to get off my phone, you know, even talking. Like, a lot of times I'll talk or if I'm sending a text, I'll do a voice text. And I'm like, you know what? I don't need to be showing them that, especially after I read this, because
dude, you don't need to be driving that way.
I don't even need to be driving, period.
Truth.
I'm not the best at driving. But 25% of the people or the young drivers said they learned from a teacher or a driver's ed teacher. So you got driver's ed class, and I thought that would be higher because there's so many classes that can help your teenagers drive now.
That doesn't mean you're going to learn how to drive from them, though.
Yeah. That's true, because I just took it to lower the insurance. Mm-hmm. I didn't learn a thing.
Okay.
I don't think I did either.
10% said that it was friends or family members other than their parents they learned to drive. And I remember learning to drive from, it was my brother's girlfriend at the time, because she would go out and want to smoke a cigarette and didn't want my mom and dad to know. And so, yeah.
So she'd be like, Hawk, drive me over here.
Exactly.
It's like,
I want to teach him how to drive right now. We're just going to drive around the neighborhood. And she'd go out there and she would smoke. And, of course, I'd get secondhand smoke. That's probably why I'm a bad driver today. I couldn't see out the window. So, and I would guess it would be grandparents teaching the young drivers.
My grandmother was horrific to drive with. Yeah. She'd be going 45 and a 55 and cursing all the cars passing her, blowing horns at us. And we're like, Grandmother, you're not going the speed limit. That's the limit. You don't have to go to the limit if you don't want to. And I was like, Grandmother, let me drive. I'm 13. I got this.
Okay. So 75% of people who have issues with road rage said that their parents actually have issues with road rage.
That's not a good thing either.
That's where they have learned it.
But my parents never had road rage, but I do, so I got that on my own.
I think my mom causes it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. you know, my parents weren't road ragers. My mom probably more so than my dad. She'd be more likely to flip somebody off than my dad.
I used to be a road rager, and then I realized people are a lot crazier than me.
Yeah.
So I don't mess with anyone. Like, I'll chew them out in my car with the doors locked and the windows up. I'll be like, you dummy, dumb. And they'll look at me, and I'm like, don't make eye contact.
I just flipped a guy off on Friday.
Oh, no.
Yeah. I knew I shouldn't have done it, but I was in the heat of the moment.
Hi, Tom. Mm-hmm.
That's a redneck.
But he started it.
That's even more redneck to say that.
You know what's so funny is my mom, like, she's up there now. She's a granny. And she's like, she'll be riding shotgun. She'll lean over to see if I can go, you know, past somebody on the other, like if there's a slow driver in the left lane. She's like, you want me to flip them a bird? Mom, we had already passed them by the time you got your hand out the window. Okay. And they say you're more likely to copy your dad's driving than your mom's driving.
That's a good thing.
Yeah, I don't know. My mom is really distracted when she drives, and she's got a Wrangler, so she just runs everything over.
Really?
She's like, look at this bird over here. Look at this new building. I'm like, Ma, look at the car coming right at us.
That's what I need for my wife. Every new van we get, she trashes the suspension right away. I didn't know where that curb came from.
Well, the teens out there, they say that they think their mom's a better driver than
their
dad.
Really?
Yes.
I did not think that growing up. Mm. My mom backed through a garage door once.
Yeah.
I don't know how she didn't look back first to see that it was down.
Did she keep? She hit it and she was like, what's that noise?
She stopped. Pulled up. And then we tried to get the door straightened out. And then she actually painted the car so my dad wouldn't notice. And he did.
My parents have lived in the same house for almost 40 years. And my mom missed the turn to get into the house the other day and ran into the ditch.
Oh.
I'm like, 40 years, the same road.
Misjudged it.
How? And she goes, Oopsie.
Yeah.
Good thing I got a 4x4. I'm like, Kathy, you are terrifying behind the wheel.
That is scary.
On average, people gave their moms driving skills to teenagers 8.1 out of 10 compared to their dads, which is like a 7.5 out of 10 for their dad's driving.
Only thing I can think of is maybe the dads are more aggressive.
Well, that's it. 29% said they've gotten scared while their dad was driving compared to 20% of the moms. And I don't think the moms are as aggressive.
No, I'm technically a better driver, but I take more chances. Like, it's almost like NASCAR. Mm-hmm. You look at NASCAR drivers, you're like, those are some of the best drivers in the world, but they wreck a lot because they push it to the very limit, and that's why men are considered bad drivers.
Well, anybody can drive in circles.
Nah,
he's making a left turn.
180, 200 in a circle.
Let me also remind you that September 1st of this year is when the hands-free law goes into effect for South Carolina. You can't even have your cell phone on your lap, can't have it in your hand, you can't send text. Everything's got to be voice automated.
How are they going
to
know it's in my lap?
I know, right?
What are they going to do?
See, and that's what I do. I put mine on my lap. A lot of times when I have GPS on, if I'm traveling, well, I'll have it in my lap because I don't have one of those.
It's got to be tough when you're driving with your knees. Well, my phone's falling off.
I lost my phone to the crevice a couple of times. But
I do hate that when you got your phone on your like leg and it goes into that little unknown area where you'll never see it again.
You're in the middle of a call. You're like, hold on, I'll be right there.
You're trying to drive and you're reaching down, feeling for your phone.
Yeah, I'm sure that's against the law, too.
It probably is. Anyway, the young drivers are blaming the parents now, so watch what you're doing when your teen's in the car.
Hawk and Tom on B93.7.
Well, those thunderstorms would ruin this life hack. Not that I think this is the best life hack I've ever heard before. In fact, it may be one of the most bizarre life hacks.
Okay.
But what would you do if you could keep your home 6 degrees cooler without spending any electricity on it?
I wouldn't do it.
No? You don't like your home cool?
No, it's at 74. That's where it's.
Oh, my
that's
goodness.
That's kind of sweat. No, I bet you sweat a lot.
No, I really don't. In fact, at times I get cold and it's pulled out a little space heater.
All right, dear. Grandpa, you ain't American.
When I lost weight, when I lost 50 pounds, that's when I started getting cold.
Okay.
You little lizard man.
Yeah.
Well, I think most people keep it set, from what I've read, at 72.
Yeah.
And some as low as 68, which would be cold to me.
My mom's house is 78. Her husband says he's too cheap to lower it. I'm like, Mom, I cannot hang out today.
Okay.
I will come by and bring you food or say hey, but I cannot hang out in your house. It's hot in there.
If you think that's complaining, if me and Tom went over there, I'd be really complaining.
Because
my house is one, my second floor is like 69.
Oh, good.
See, I'm thinking in that kind of house where you walk in and you kick your shoes off, you got to just start taking off layers, too.
Yeah.
Like, it's too hot.
I'll take my clothes off.
I prefer the winter months. That way you can stay as cool as it wants to be, and I can dress it up.
Well, here's the secret for cooling down your home. And, Cato, you could actually set your thermostat up higher and just do this, and it would save you money.
Okay.
It's a little odd, though. I'm just going to tell you right now. A researcher, God knows where he got his research funding from, but he has found that you can keep your home more than 6 degrees cooler by, quote, simply covering your windows in yogurt.
What?
It's a cost-effective solution, and it doesn't smell bad, according to the researchers.
Why yogurt? What if I have peanut butter instead?
Good question. Okay, peanut butter you can't really see out of. The yogurt dries to a very thin paste, and it's the fat in the yogurt that actually reflects the sun's rays.
Okay.
Huh.
Nice.
So if you cover your windows in yogurt, they measured this. It lowered the temperature in the house by 6 degrees because the Greek yogurt has a fat percentage of about 10%.
So I was imagining you were just, you know, putting it around the cracks of your window.
No,
you know,
they're painting it with a roller.
That's kind of interesting.
It's very interesting.
How can the fat in yogurt deflect the sunlight? But I've been to Myrtle Beach, and that's getting burnt. People are getting burnt.
Yeah.
Just put some yogurt on you next time you go to the beach.
That fat's not deflecting the sun.
They say if you're worried about the smell, don't be. Supposedly the yogurt smells for about 30 seconds when drying, but as soon as it dries, the smell disappears. And you don't have to sop the window down. It just needs to be lightly coated.
What about bugs?
That's another great question.
I feel so smart.
They claim that it does not attract bugs. I don't know why it wouldn't attract bugs, but it's being Greek yogurt. It say it doesn't.
Was this written by the bugs?
I don't know. They might have been getting free food. They're like, the humans will fall for this. They'll go for it for sure.
It attracts that person trying to lose some weight at home licking your windows.
They say you need a tablespoon per window, and it's not messy. You can keep it on as long as you want, as long as there isn't a heavy rain. And if that's the case, they say it's simple to wash it off with a cloth and water.
You put it on the outside or inside?
That's a good point, because one person did it on the inside.
Which is what I was assuming.
That's what I was thinking, too.
Right. But if you do it on the outside, then you got to count on rain washing it off.
But okay, yeah. I mean, you're doing a lot more, but it's less messy, because in their house, it'd be messy over time.
I think it would be nasty from the get-go.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, but inside would be so convenient if you're a little snackish, just like walk by the window, keep going. Mm-hmm.
Now, they say tin foil works really well, but most HOAs aren't going to go for either of these options if they know about them. But the yogurt, they may not be able to tell.
Can you just close your blinds?
You can do that.
Because that's one thing about my mom's house.
Okay.
It makes it warmer because they have all their blinds open. The sun's beaming in. Their front door is open with the glass door. Their garage stays open. And I'm like, if you shut all that down.
Okay. Like, what happened? That's the reason as humans we went to the top of the food chain, was to have things like air conditioning, not to live in 80 or 90 degree heat.
I can understand why this works. And the reason being is because Sun Solutions is one of the 3M companies that will come out and put tinting on your window.
Right.
And a lot of people do this, but they'll tint your windows of your house like they do a car, and it goes down a couple degrees. That stuff works because I have my house that way.
But you ever walk by one of those windows?
Mm-hmm.
It will burn you alive.
No, not mine.
Some of them are almost reflective, and when you walk it, because we'll walk our neighborhood.
You mean outside the windows?
Yes.
Oh, yeah,
yeah,
true.
They do that. They burn the grass, too.
I'll be honest.
Burns
I don't know about his company, but our windows have the highly reflective stuff, and the grass will get brown in certain spots.
Yeah, so does my neighbor's has that too, and sometimes I sit in front of it and I rotate like a rotisserie chicken so I can get a quick tan.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I will say my house is one of the coolest ones in the house, in the neighborhood.
How do you even know?
Well, I'm just saying it's got the shades on the house, you know? It's got
this is not high school.
Like it's wearing sunglasses. It's like, that house has sunglasses.
That's cool. Well, you can do that tinting, or you can be cool and do yogurt.
Oh, yeah.
Or just close the blinds like I do.
You know, that helps, but I don't think it does 100% like the yogurt does.
Yeah.
Well, try
all the reflective stuff.
I don't even clean my windows. I'm definitely not putting yogurt on.
I never have cleaned my
windows. And Tom ain't going to waste food. Come on.
It's the Hawk and Tom Show on B93.7.
They ask people for the most unusual ways to keep themselves from spending money. So these are real answers. These are the most unusual ways people use to keep themselves from spending money.
I hope some of these are useful because I need to apply them to my wife. I tell her, we're spending more than we make right now. And she's like, you're right. I'm going to work on that. And then my phone's like, cha-ching. I'm like, what was that? Quinn needed pants. All right. Ding. Quinn needed shoes. I'm like, he's got shoes. He doesn't need a new pair right now.
Yeah.
I just don't leave the house.
It
costs me at least a minimum of $100 every time I walk out of my house.
That doesn't work anymore with all the online shopping.
I don't do a lot of online shopping.
I find more online than I do when I go in stores.
These are real answers that people have used.
Okay.
Real?
Okay, I'm sorry. So one of the first ones is calculate how long you have to work to pay for it. Like if something costs $100 and you make $20 an hour, you got to work 5 hours just to buy that item.
That's rude.
That sounds like a pretty good idea, though, if you think about it.
To me, I would be like, 5 hours ain't bad.
Okay. Consider the idea that you might never retire. Think of yourself at age 80 still working somewhere.
But look at all my pretty things.
Yeah, I can't really imagine retiring anyway, so that's not going to work for me.
Okay.
I don't know. I'm sure they'll make us one day, but I just don't imagine it.
All right. They get stranger as I go on here. These are the ways people say, the unusual ways to keep themselves from spending money. Just start binge watching shows like Hoarders, and you never want to buy anything again.
That's a good idea. I don't have to watch a TV show, though. I've got my house.
That stuff doesn't work for me because then I think I could organize all of that. And then I start shopping for new bins and stuff so that I can organize it all.
Organizing sounds like a nightmare to me.
But once you get kids, even my mom talks about this. She's like, I don't want to leave you guys with all this stuff. And so she's like going and throwing stuff at Goodwill all of a sudden.
My mom said the rudest thing to me the other day. She said, I've got a bunch of your old junk and you need to come get it. And I was like, Mother, that is why y'all still have the house for all of our old junk.
That's true. My parents are going to leave us with everything to figure out.
Do you still have your room? Is it set up the way you left it?
Yes. Got a WDIZ license plate on the wall, a Van Halen record on the wall.
Really? How did you take that with you? Like, I took all that when I moved out. I took all my stuff.
Don't tell my extras. Mom that.
I mean, I did. My mom's trying to get rid of stuff, too, because she saw what we went through with my dad.
Yeah.
Not getting rid of anything and having to go through all that. So I told her, I said, sell everything and use that money while you're... I don't want anything from you, Mom.
Why are you so condescending and mean?
What?
Why didn't you take that with you? It's like you like think I'm the worst person in the world because I left my WDIZ sign
up. Yeah, you didn't clean up after yourself.
I did. It was on the wall. It's still there. They like it.
It's still my room. I just don't live there.
Yeah, exactly.
So what if it's clutter in my room?
When I moved out, my room got taken.
Well,
for something else.
My mom filled it up with Raggedy Andy dolls.
Okay. So these are the most unusual ways that money-saving tips for you. They say, do you like the item more than cash? Before you buy something, ask yourself, if someone offered me this T-shirt or $30, which one would I take? So you're in the store, you're looking at that shirt like, you know, if someone gave me $30 or this shirt, which one would I take?
I'm going to need to see the shirt first.
I need new shirts.
Because what are you going to do? $30 cash is just burning a hole in your pocket.
Okay. Lock all your credit cards up. You can still use them if you want, but you have to go through the trouble of unlocking them every time you use a credit card.
It's very easy to unlock them in the app now.
It really is.
Just saying.
But maybe how about lock them up in a safe or something in your house?
Well, that would definitely cut back your spending. It also cut back your freedom and your ability to deal with any kind of hardships.
Here's another unusual way, and this is, I guess, if you exercise, make yourself run for every dollar that you spend.
Ew.
If you buy something you need for like $50, you'll go run for 50 minutes.
Here's the thing. I cannot take this cash with me when I die, so I want to enjoy my money now.
Truth.
Okay, but
my husband says I have a problem.
A lot of people are enjoying money they don't have now.
Well, that's the problem.
Yeah, because when we're gone, who cares?
I know, right? Yeah. Come and get it.
And then the final thing they say is boycott everything. Find reasons to boycott as many companies as you can and refuse to give them your money. There's an app called Goods Unite Us, and it could help because it tells you how every brand leans politically.
I don't like Nike, so I don't buy Nike stuff.
Oh, you're
but my
doing
kids
it.
Get around it by buying it used online.
Oh.
They'll buy like a shirt that's Nike, but they didn't buy it new.
I forget why you didn't like Nike.
Because they exploit young kids in Uruguay countries.
You don't
and crap.
Think Apple does? You don't think there's
I like Apple
slave
products.
Labor for kids?
It depends if he likes the product.
There
or
you
not.
Go.
It's the Hawk and Tom Show on B93.7.
You know, you don't have any idea what to believe anymore. And it doesn't matter who's telling you, it could be false, and especially if it comes from authorities.
Yeah.
We've been told so many things over the years that turned out to be lies or they changed their mind. Whether it's bran muffins, one day bran muffins were good for your heart, one day they weren't, and then they were again. And you're like, who paid for what study? I don't even know what to believe.
Yeah.
There's another thing when we were kids. When we were little kids, we were told not to go swimming after we ate for at least 30 minutes or we would get stomach cramps and drown.
Yeah.
Who came up with that nonsense?
Parents who did not feel like watching you because they're still in the middle of eating.
Wish it was that simple, Cato. Yeah. I wish it was that simple. Yeah. It turns out, you know who really gave us that lie? The Boy Scouts.
Really?
The Boy Scout manual, the original one from 1908 called Scouting for Boys, said, quote, never bathe in deep water very soon after a meal. It is very likely to cause cramps, which double you up, and so you get drowned.
Wow, the Boy Scouts is not that trustworthy, are they?
They're not. And you know what's even worse is the grammar wasn't very good either.
I noticed that.
But they said that this is absolutely ridiculous, yet people believed it for years. Mm-hmm. Even up to not that long ago, some people still believed it was true because that's what they were told when they were kids. But now they realize this isn't true because many parents encourage their kids to eat before playing soccer to prevent cramps.
Hmm.
He said, also, I can physically tell the difference if I have some pieces of toast and then swam an hour at 6 a.m. in high school versus if I didn't eat the toast, I would be dragging. So it actually helps you to get a little bit of food in your system.
Yeah. Well, that's like runners. They have the big, what is the carb parties before. They right. do the pastas and all that kind of stuff.
Because you're going to be burning through all that stuff.
I always partaked in the pasta party, but I never made it for the run.
Okay.
Yeah. And I would not put those two things together. Hey, let's go eat a bunch of spaghetti and yeah. then we'll go for a big 3-hour run.
I mean, I had lunch at S&S yesterday. I wanted to go home and nap.
Yeah. I don't know how you ran after that.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know whether we can trust this or not either, because it's another group that could be lying to us. But in 2011, the American Red Cross Scientific Advisory Committee concluded that eating before swimming is not a risk for drowning and can be dismissed as a myth.
And then if I believe them and I go swimming as I'm drowning, I'll be like, oh, this cramp.
And they lied.
Yeah.
But I think they're telling the truth. But, you know, there's lots of things like that parents told us when we were kids that were lies.
I mean, think about it. Fish eat while they're swimming, and I've never seen one cramp up.
Man, we didn't even think of that, did we?
Good point. Yeah. Good point.
Yeah, can't argue that.
You know, they say, like, you swallow your chewing gum. It's going to be in your stomach for 7 years. They always said that.
That's not true.
Can you still blow bubbles?
That's not true either.
Yeah.
I tried.
And steak sits in your stomach 7 years.
And that's a lie.
That. Really?
That's a lie. And I don't know why I bother chewing corn.
It's see you later, never goodbye.
Okay.
It's true.
My mama didn't teach me that one, but
yeah. Hawk and Tom on B93.7.
You know, with Ed Sheeran, it's kind of interesting. He says he waits until his wife's in a good mood to play new music for her because, quote, she can kill a song in a heartbeat.
I can see that.
Yeah.
You know, if you present any idea to your wife and she's not in a good mood, they can just make you feel like it's such a horrible idea.
Yeah. So he's sitting there writing a new song. He's like, hey, listen to this new song. Then she says exactly what she feels. Then they get into a little spat, and he's like, I'm fine. I'm okay. I'm all right. It's okay.
I feel like you're either stalking or you're just imagining a lot there.
I'm just imagining.
Okay.
Yeah. But that was his words, though. He said she can kill a good song in a heartbeat. So, speaking of I'm fine, when you do hear those words, do you think the person's really fine? You know, when you say, hey, how you doing? I'm fine.
No, but I'm glad they said that because I really don't want to hear it.
Right.
Okay.
You're like, that lets you off the hook.
I got the breakdown for you here. Average adult says, I'm fine. How many times a week?
12.
I'm going to say 5.
I'm kind of clumsy, so I'm going to up that number.
All right.
What was it, 15?
14 was the correct answer there. So, yeah, we'll say I'm fine 14 times a week. And just 20% who say I'm fine mean it.
Yeah, well, because sometimes, like, if my husband's upstairs and he'll hear me run into something or whatever downstairs, and he's like, you good? I'm like, I'm fine.
Yeah.
Because I'm constantly tripping.
There's different fines.
Yeah. There are different fines.
Like, there's the fine, like, you're having a fight. I'm fine. Okay. And you know they're not really fine. And then there's the fine, like, where I just cut my head open and I'm bleeding everywhere, but I'm fine.
Okay. I think this was more so when someone says, hey, how you doing?
Yeah.
I'm fine.
Yeah.
And then you got a parking fine if you stay there longer than 2 hours.
Okay, kid.
Or then, girl, you're fine. Okay, 34% say they use the response because it's more convenient than explaining how they really feel at the time.
Well, most people don't want to really know.
Okay, if you're just an acquaintance, but if it's a true friend, you really do want to help support them through that.
Yeah, whatever.
Well, you don't, but
no,
I would.
I think a lot of people don't, and I'm talking about from my perspective. Like, if I tell, in fact, one of y'all this morning said I tell too much about my stuff.
We all said that.
Okay,
I'm at
least one of you.
But you got something wrong with your guts again.
Again.
I'm like, how many times? It's like crying wolf. It's that
it's
little
not
boy
crying wolf.
Wolf.
It's real. My guts are messed up. But that's what makes me mad. Cato said I'm hypochondriac. I'm like, I can't help that it's really happening.
And the thing is, he doesn't know what causes it.
Yeah.
How would I know?
Double loaded omelet biscuit from Hardee's this morning.
I mean, but at this point, should you just not expect it? It's like, I know. My gut's not doing right now.
When I have family that complains about something over and over and over again, I'm like, why do you even complain? Because you know it's going to happen.
I'm fine.
Well, and get this, 23% say, I'm fine. It's because they think the person asking isn't really interested in them at all.
I'm fine.
Yes, 23% of that. So, you know, I think a real friend should help you out, though.
Apparently not.
But you know who you can ask that question to. If you go on Facebook or social media and you see their social pages or poor me, poor me.
Okay.
Then you know not to ask that person if they're fine. Just say, I hope you're good. And leave it at that.
Okay, well, 59% say they expect someone just to lie to them about how they are really feeling at the time and just move on with their day. So they expect them just to say, I'm fine, I'm good, and just move on.
So we really don't care about each other.
Yeah, really. Yeah, that's true.
So why do we ask?
I know. It's like maybe we need to come up with some new greeting. Like, you know, I don't know.
You want to come across as being polite by asking, hey, how are you? Yeah. But then you're not really polite because you really don't care.
Yeah.
Maybe we should just be like, hey, I hope you're doing okay.
That's what I say. I say, hope you're good.
I've tried that. People will still stop you with that one. Because they'll be like, well, actually, and you're like, oh, my gosh.
I didn't ask. I just hope you're doing okay.
40% of women and 29% of men said they have regretted opening up to someone in the past. So someone asked, you know, how you doing? And they opened up, and that might have bit them in the butt.
Sometimes it does come out kind of quickly, and then afterwards you're like, that was too much. Yeah. That was like word vomit. I can't take it back now. They know a lot.
At least she held my hair.
You know, Jay and our sales team, I sent him some pictures when I broke my shoulder, and I had to have my shirt off to show the stuff. And he says, now that I've seen your nipples, I feel like we're closer and have a closer relationship now.
And you don't think you show or share too much?
No, I do. I think I did.
Okay.
It was obvious.
He's like, cover it up. Okay. And then finally, 28% think they would benefit from someone more supportive in their life.
Ain't that the truth? Because y'all ain't.
But you're fine, right?
Fine.
Okay.
It's the Hawk and Tom Show on B93.7.